is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
I welcome Victor Davis Hanson of the Hoover Institution to comment on one part of the larger atmosphere of progressivism in America today. Progressivism, which is the polite way of saying the political left, describes a deal of the Biden administration's policies. One more than any other comes to hand right now because of events, and that is the border policy. Victor, a very good evening to you. I only have anecdotes of a reporter colleague of mine who's moved between El Paso and Los Angeles these last days to observe the phenomenon of people crossing into the United States. What I learn is that the Homeland Security is saying that the numbers are down from what they were before Title 42 was rescinded. However, the numbers are large, and the numbers in the United States now awaiting disposition or hearings because of refugee status are even larger. But it's only anecdote. We don't have a total effect. For example, there's a hotel in San Diego, California, that is said to be filled with migrants. I don't know their status. I don't know whether they are here for hearings or to be deported. I do know that that there have been observed camps prepared by someone, perhaps Homeland Security, in El Paso for numbers growing. I do know that at the Darien Gap, a video that came within these last days, and I have video from 22, I have video from 21, the numbers flowing into the Darien Gap from all over the world, but especially South America, are enormous, in the thousands, and they're all headed via Panama to the Mexican border. So the question is a simple one. What does the progressive opinion in Washington and throughout the country want with these tens of thousands, perhaps hundreds of thousands by now, this year alone, migrants in America? What is their ambition? Good evening to you.
Good evening. Well, that was the right word, want, volition, because it's deliberate and it's a planned policy. So we have to figure out why the Biden administration would instruct Mr. Mayorkas to abrogate or destroy federal immigration laws. We knew it, and the result would be 6 to 7, I think it's higher than that now, million illegal entries. Some of them are doubles, but nevertheless, it's a huge number. So why are they doing it? Why? They know that there's problems, John, that here in my town, which is 95% Hispanic, you can see the difference. We're 5.5 hours from the border, but my gosh, when you go into town and you see public, I had to go to the emergency room, and I don't think there was a single person there that spoke English. So it's taxing the social services of U.S. citizens. We don't have any audit or background checks of any of these people who are coming in. They come in without English facility, without capital, without marketable skills, and they're going to be in dire need of health, legal, education, food, shelter, subsidies to give some semblance of parity, because we are a humane society. So why are they doing it? And all I can figure out from what they say and what people say about them in critiques is, one, they feel that these are constituencies that will either in the short term with lax voting laws or in the long term as they obtain amnesties will be for larger government, more social entitlements, and vote for Democrats. And this is important because they feel that otherwise their progressive agenda does not appeal to 51% of the electorate as it's constituted. Now, John, I have to be very careful because what I just said is written off as bias, as the great replacement theory. But what I'm doing is just emulating what the left says. They believe, I think, in the great replacement theory in the sense of bringing a new constituency in, but they call it something else. If you look at books by John Judas or go back to James Carville, they use terms in their titles and subtitles like demography is destiny or the new Democratic majority. That's one thing. And then secondly, I think they get a wink and a nod from the Chamber of Commerce Republican establishment, along with the Democrats who feel that we are only at 62% of labor participation. We have generous entitlements. We have people who are not working, and yet we have enormous needs for unskilled, if I could use that kind of unfair term, unskilled labor. These are people who work in meatpacking plants, hospitality, your cooks, your chefs, your maids, your nannies, your landscapers, and that these people who are coming from southern Mexico and central America, in large part, will do those jobs at a very cheap rate. And I think those are the two catalysts that are driving it.
I accept the ambition. At the same time, the facts support that cities, American cities, are now overwhelmed with migrants. New York City, for example, has a large percentage. I don't have numbers because I don't think they've had a chance to count large percentage of people from Venezuela. They're putting them in hotels. I mentioned the hotel in San Diego. The facilities where to stay in El Paso I have for my correspondent are overwhelmed. People are sleeping in front of stores, and they're being asked to move on. In fact, store owners are rolling big rocks in front of their establishments so that people won't crowd up against the front door. In other words, our humanitarian services are being overwhelmed. The Border Patrol is exhausted, and Homeland Security can't be far behind. This doesn't serve, I mean, I understand long-term goals, but the short-term goals are a catastrophe, Victor, and certainly Washington sees this.
I would tend to just add, John, though, that the people who are making these policies or non-policies are never subject to the consequences of their own ideology. So Mr. Mayorkas or Mr. Biden or Ms. Jean-Pierre, they're not going to be living in communities that are impacted. They have quality health care. They have safe neighborhoods. They don't worry about this. So I look out the window right now as I'm speaking to you, John, and I can tell you there's a farm. Every farmhouse on my street has someone who has rented it and then sublet and sublet and sublet, and there's 30 or 40 people living there. A quarter mile from my home, there are 40 people living there. There's cows, there's chickens that get in the road, there's 30 or 40 dogs, there must be at least 8 trailers. It's an entire little compound. And these are people who have come from Mexico in the last 2 years across the Mexican border. They come to Central California. Local people rent out substandard housing. They have Romex wire, John, strung to the main house. They have hoses that come off the house faucet for their water. They do not have sewage or septic facilities. They just have porta potties with the bottom cut out into holes. And there must be thousands of people living like this in rural California. And no one who supports that policy ever lives next to this. And so when I walk out at night on my own property, I find garbage bags. I find people fishing in a pond for fish I guess they want fresh fish. I see people with firearms. I don't know who they are. They don't speak English. And I feel like the people who allowed this to happen are very cynical.
The puzzle, is there a way to move this story? Because what we're observing is anecdote. We're not given big numbers here. But from what I saw at the Darien Gap, Victor, this is going to grow. The word is out now. This is the time to go to the U.S., no matter who you are or where you are. And we know those people at the Darien Gap take huge risks to go through that jungle, to arrive in some fashion, to be bused or transported or walked north. Is there anything to be done, or are we just fatalistic about this?
Well, it's a political problem because one political party allowed this to happen. This was not happening, John, in 2020, 2019, 2018, although there were efforts to make it happen, but it wasn't happening. That problem had been solved by 2019. So it's a deliberate political position that was taken. And so you have to ask yourself, what would reverse that to ameliorate the situation? I think the left is very, very short-sighted because they are offending and alienating a lot of their core constituencies. African Americans in the core cities of Chicago, they're being impacted by busing people into schools or rec centers. Hispanic Americans, second, third generation, don't know what to do when they have advanced placement courses and they fought hard for that competitive edge in their schools. And all of a sudden, they've got to bring back English is a second language because they're just flooded with people, and they're not just from Mexico, as you pointed out. So it's starting to politically influenced constituencies that were either nonchalant about an open border or favored it in the past. But now I think it's going to be an issue that the left is going to have to respond to.
We move from the progressive left, its ambitions, to the Republican field. There's a new candidate, with several new candidates. And I asked Victor Davis Hanson to comment on the governor from Florida, on the senator from South Carolina, and now we're told the former governor of New Jersey is going to enter the fray. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.